Like us on Facebook, the Baltimore Sports Free for All podcast. Follow us on Twitter at @BSportsFree, the number four all. And be sure to check out our weekly blogs on sportsblog.com. Thanks, and enjoy the show.
Spot. Driving. No purchase necessary.
The following is a live show streaming from two radio show producers / sports fans. Ray Atkinson and Josh Hall have one mission: to gain your attention. This is the Baltimore Sports Free-for-All.
Depending on what time you listen to this, this is either going to be the last show of the old year or the first show of the new year.
Yeah, but it will be posted in time for the remaining day or hours of 2015, right?
It will.
Yeah, okay. I expect so. It technically is the last show of the old year, pretty much.
When we record it, yes. So could picture this, that you're listening to this show still in 2015.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah, I would say what a year it has been, but I don't know if I could really call it that depending on your perspective. Some people hated 2015.
No, I mean, when you look back on the years we've been doing this show, what's it been, like September 2013 we've been doing this show?
Yeah, that's when we started out at with the Baltimore Sports Free-for-All, when we were just in a little bit of a shack inside of SoundCloud.
Yep, and when 2014 hit, wow. 2014, now that was a year in Baltimore sports right there. You had the Ravens getting back to the playoffs. You had the Orioles winning the American League East Championship outright and going to the ALCS. And you had the start of a dynasty in what now appears to be Maryland men's basketball and Maryland women's basketball.
Are you trying to reminisce back to 2014? We're talking about 2015 here,
I yearn for those years, Ray. I yearn for those years.
It was almost 2 years ago now.
I know.
It's not that bad.
I know. But it's like, for some reason, 2015 was just there for Baltimore sports in general.
It was there just in general, period.
Now, the beginning of the year was good, though. You had the Ravens going to the playoffs and then, of course, ultimately losing to the eventual Super Bowl champion New England Patriots.
I guess you shouldn't hang your head too low for that, right?
No. And you had the Maryland men's basketball team getting back to the NCAA champion, not the championship. I wish that were the case, but the tournament for the championship.
That may happen this year.
And Maryland women's basketball went to the Final Four, where they ultimately lost to the UConn Lady Huskies. Of course, we'll be talking about the game that happened this season, this new season of Maryland women's college basketball on this show. Also, be talking about the men's team having a solid win against Marshall and having a comeback win in their first Big Ten opener against Penn State, the Nittany Lions.
It was quite the game, Diamond Stone. Quite the game, Diamond Stone. We barely knew ye.
Why do you say that?
We're going right to the NBA, Josh.
So we're going to talk about his performance and why it's NBA worthy.
Not just NBA worthy. He was NBA worthy to begin with. He's a one and done type guy. That's what Mark Turgeon was trying to recruit towards. And yet, this is the way you got to play the game. You got to play the game to where you're going to see guys like this give performances of a lifetime, and he's gone.
All right, and he's still going to be listed as a bench player in the stat sheet. Until he's listed as a starter, then we can say he's NBA worthy.
No, I think he's going to be NBA worthy regardless.
I think Turgeon's going to keep him on the bench on purpose. Maybe he realizes he's going to get some hot streaks out of Diamond Stone if he keeps him on the bench.
Could be a ploy here, it's a little conspiracy to keep Diamond Stone in a Maryland Terrapin uniform for another year.
What else happened this year? Oh, yeah. In 2015, believe it or not, the Ravens technically defeated the Steelers three times in a row. Once in the playoffs and twice this regular season.
Good grief, you think about it that way. It hasn't been that bad year at all for the Ravens until you look at their record.
or their injury reserve list. Yikes, was it 20 players now on the injured reserve? Crockett Gilmore just joined them.
I believe Marlon Brown also joined them.
Oh, you're talking about that promising 2013 rookie wide receiver that just went missing the last two seasons?
Yeah, and then for the last five games he's been hurt. They just didn't want to put him on injured reserve and admit, oh boy, here we go again with this guy. But then they said, well, you know what? There's been so many players put on injured reserve. We'll just bury him underneath and maybe he'll just be yet another casualty for our club.
I wonder if in the NFL in the near, not too distant future, there will be some troll physical assistant that will make up an injury term called pride, where you're either doubtful, questionable, or probable because your pride is hurt. I wonder how long that'll be.
Probably 2 seconds, and then that person will be fired.
Probably. Just like Chip Kelly, right?
Yeah, I mean, how do you get fired on your day off?
Don't you think, looking back on it now, and nothing against DJ Durkin, maybe he will do some good for Maryland's football program as their new head coach. But looking back at it now, do you think Maryland should have waited a little bit longer before Chip Kelly fell through the cracks?
Do you really think that Chip Kelly would go to Maryland, though? That would be a thought.
I think if Kevin Plank would have offered him a stock share, a sharehold in the stock exchange for Under Armour, maybe, just maybe, Ray, maybe Chip Kelly would have joined in as the Maryland head football coach and finally make the Oregon of the Big Ten, in terms of uniforms, actually play like the Oregon football team.
See, the problem, though, with Chip Kelly's tenure in Philadelphia is that the first 2 years, fantastic. Everything was good, hunky-dory, 20-12.
Too much hands-on there.
And then all of a sudden, bam, gone. I believe he may have hurt his chances of being a coach ever again at any type of level for Chip Kelly. Yeah, he should be able to find a job at the college level, even at some mid-tier college like Maryland. But at the same time, do you think that he would be his recruiting prowess is hurt given that everything that went on with the Eagles and the whole Riley Cooper situation and everything that he had to deal with, you know, coming in and how he got rid of players that were vocally outspoken against it, you know?
Oh, yeah, Jeremy Maclin, LaShawn McCoy, guys who were proven players in that system. Yeah, I could see that. But at the same time, though, I mean, those are the chances you take. And in college football, you don't necessarily wait for the right coach to fall through because the right coach may be gone before you know it. It's just like the MLB offseason. How we've been talking about, oh, hey, the Orioles should get Scott Kazmir and stop worrying about Chris Davis. Oh, wait, never mind. Scott Kazmir is already gone.
Yes, he is, for 3 years, $48 million to the Dodgers.
The Orioles could have spent that money on Kazmir. They could have.
I would think they could have. And considering everything that was going on this offseason, it's like, oh, well, he's not worth it. No guy that has been signed this offseason has been worth the money that's been signed. That's the point.
That's market value, market price. Same thing with quarterbacks. By the way, speaking of quarterbacks, before we start to show off, how much money do you think Kirk Cousins is going to make this offseason with the Redskins?
He likes that.
He likes that.
Yeah, he's definitely going to be signed, be the savior of Washington, be their starter, and then all of a sudden next year he, you know, either goofs the bed or gets hurt or something. That's just the luck that Washington franchise has.
Or it keeps taking knees in the red zone at halftime.
Hey. That was he was beating that team so bad that he took a knee at halftime, a victory knee.
They are lucky they won that game and the division that night. Otherwise, he would have been a walking meme for the rest of his life.
Oh, yeah. It was be like, yeah, you like that? Yeah, you like losing while taking a knee? Sure, why not?
All right, and speaking of losing, the Baltimore Ravens certainly did not lose in their Week 16 matchup against the Steelers. And it's surprising when I look back on this game, this Week 16 matchup. On paper, the Steelers should have routed the Ravens. Antonio Brown, Martavis Bryant, Marcus Wheaton, they should have owned the Baltimore Ravens offensively.
And yet they did not. It did not come to fruition. All of a sudden, you would think that maybe the Steelers underestimated the Ravens to the point where they said, huh, well, we're playing against a AAA affiliate. The Norfolk Tides actually had a nice little troll towards those predictions about losing to a AAA affiliate. But at the same time, yeah, the Baltimore Ravens were watching preseason football with them, and yet they beat the Steelers with their backups.
Yeah, it is completely incredible how Ryan Mallett, who was picked off of the street not too long ago by the Baltimore Ravens and given a 2-year contract to be a backup quarterback.
Wearing Kyle Bowler's old number, no less.
Coming into the game, and what we said about Ryan Mallett, this guy from the neck down has great gifts for a quarterback, but it's from the neck up that you have to worry about for the time being. But in this game, Ray, Ryan Mallett played mistake-free football. He was 28 of 41, had 274 yards, had one touchdown, was only sacked one time, and posted a quarterback rating of 95. So if you have to look at any upside there, it's that the Ravens played mistake-free football both in the running game and in the passing game, something we really haven't seen from a quarterback all year pretty much.
No, take your pick between Matt Schaub, Joe Flacco, even because he wasn't playing very good before he got hurt. But Matt Schaub, Jimmy Clausen, yeah. And Bryn Renner. Yeah, you've seen a bunch of things from quarterbacks that you just make you want to scratch your head, and all of a sudden Ryan Mallett comes in. Quarterback controversy in Baltimore next year?
I think if they end up beating Cincinnati on the road and Ryan Mallett throws for 300-something yards, I still think the job belongs to Joseph Vincent Flacco. But at the same time, we still have to ponder the injury questions that are going to be surrounding Joe Flacco going into 2016. Is he going to be fully healthy?
Or maybe it's just a quarterback controversy in the eyes of people who call into a radio station that has no beat reporter.
Yeah, and I see where you went there. By the way, though, you know what would be a quarterback controversy since we're speaking about the Cincinnati Bengals going into next week? A.J. McCarron. If A.J. McCarron wins a playoff game with the Bengals, we have a controversy in Cincinnati.
I believe that is going to be a legit controversy because you're thinking to yourself, okay, Andy Dalton has not won and really gotten past the playoffs at all in his career.
He's the Matt Ryan of the AFC right now.
And yet, here comes A.J. McCarron, first year in, and here he comes, leading them to a playoff charge. Yeah, that could be quite that could be a controversy we see at the end of the 2000 season with the Ravens, where you had Trent Dilfer and you bring in Elvis Gerbach. Gerbach really craps the bed, and you think to yourself, okay, they should have kept Trent Dilfer.
Yeah, you probably should have kept Trent Dilfer, looking back at the Elvis Gerbach signing. But going from quarterback to running back here, looking at Buck Allen this week, since he had 112 total offensive yards between the run and the pass, and also scored a rushing touchdown for the Baltimore Ravens. Terrence West actually turning into quite the backup for the Ravens, averaging 3.1 yards per carry, had 44 total yards. Kamar Aiken putting up another solid game as far as the receptions go, 8 catches, 66 yards. Kyle Juszczyk, the Ravens' Pro Bowl fullback, well, not Pro Bowl this year, but you never know with the reserves and playoffs and everything. 5 catches, 55 yards. Chris Givens, 2 catches, 45 yards. Jeremy Butler, 3 catches, 38 yards. So it was a solid game from the offense all around. You didn't have any turnovers. Receivers were making key catches. And the running game was as stout as it could be against a Pittsburgh Steelers defense who, up to this point, need to play solid football. Otherwise, they're going to be one and done. And next thing you know, Mike Tomlin will be on the hot seat. And you look at those Steelers' offensive numbers, it just seems pedestrian compared to what they usually put up. Antonio Brown, 7 catches, 61 yards. If you're a cornerback or a safety, if you hold Antonio Brown to 7 catches and 61 yards, you have done your job for the year right there.
Yeah, you would think those are somewhat decent numbers for a wide receiver to catch the ball 7 times and 61 yards to get on top of that. But in terms of a superstar like Antonio Brown, you take what you can get, and that's exactly what you want out of somebody who's covering Antonio Brown.
Yeah, 7 catches, 61 yards for Antonio Brown in a regular season game. You would think that 7 catches, 61 yards for Antonio Brown would be something he accomplished in a half of a preseason game, and then he took him out. You know how they always like to put the star receivers in for a half and excite the fans a little bit, and then, okay, everybody's excited, now let's put in the four string players and we're done. Boom, there you go. So, all in all, Ray, it really was a solid game for the defense for the most part. They got to Ben Roethlisberger 3 times for 22 yards lost and were able to pick off Roethlisberger twice in this game. Could have been 3 times in the fourth quarter if Jimmy Smith would have picked that ball off and ran back for a touchdown. Unfortunately, though, Courtney Upshaw had to step off sides.
Yeah, how do you do that on that play? And seeing how everything was going on, it was a very late flag on that play, by the way. And that's exactly what I hate about the NFL today in general, is that you see a big dynamic play like that, you think everything's good, you say, okay, no flags, and like a minute later, oh, there's the flag. What's the flag for? And then you see, oh, somebody jumped off sides. That's a flag that should have been put out immediately for the television audience to view. And that's just a problem I have with the NFL in general, is that you cannot have a big play nowadays without some sort of semblance, some sort of flag coming out on the play that you say to yourself, okay, well, do we cheer now? I mean, I was at a bar watching this game, and I see people start – they're not really into the game, but they kind of are. And then all of a sudden that play happens. Everyone's like jumping up and down, lighting on fire like they just won the Super Bowl. And everyone's excited for a while. And then all of a sudden they see the flag graphic since everything was on mute. and they see that graphic and they say, okay, well, and that was kind of a late flag, could be on anything, and then they say, okay, offsides, play negated, Steelers are now half the distance to the goal, and they're going to be able to score a touchdown. That, I have a huge problem with that, Josh.
I do too, especially when you are currently in a rut as a league where you really are lacking the exciting plays, and that Jimmy Smith interception that could have been would have been a highlight play that the NFL so desperately needed as far as the defensive side of the ball is concerned.
You take away kickoffs and the kickoff return and the ability for somebody to actually break one and score a touchdown that to where it's a deciding factor. You do that by kicking off from the 35-yard line instead of the 30. So you take away the exciting play there. You take away exciting plays because every time there is one, there's a holding, there's a block in the back, there's an offsides and everything else that happens like this. The game of football is terrible right now.
Yeah, it's absolutely terrible. And I'm not saying what the refs did was wrong, of course, because they absolutely made the right call. Courtney Upshaw was so offsides, he was pretty much palling around with the Steelers receivers there. But those are plays that you look at that make it the controversy. Was he offsides? Did he jump too early? You know, should Mike Tomlin have went after a referee after that play and dragged him down the field, even though it would have been a $50,000 fine right there?
Well, he's had the fines before, and I do believe what kind of a fine did he get for actually stepping out onto the field? That was a hefty one.
Yeah, he got a good chunk of change out of that there. Oh, with the Jacoby Jones one.
Yeah, I think he got fined more than Belichick one time during some of his infractions. But yeah, the referees did make the right call on that play. But at the same time, it's representative of the NFL as a whole to the point where you cannot have an exciting play without some sort of a flag.
Yep, and speaking of players, though, who made an exciting play, at least in his mind, Justin Tucker, 2 for 2, and guess what, Ray? Guess what his longest field goal was?
It was over 50 yards.
It was exactly a 50-yard field goal. So, Justin Tucker, welcome back to making 50-yard field goals, at least for this week.
At least for this week, and considering that, yeah, it's a game where they're not really playing for much other than pride, and their pride was not hurt. They didn't have the injured pride. The Ravens actually came out and delivered against a rival Pittsburgh Steelers, and anyone who had apathy towards a Steelers week that I've never seen before during a Ravens-Steelers matchup. You know, everyone felt like they could go home happy to write home about. Maybe this game right here and beating the Steelers earlier on actually saved John Harbaugh a little bit of hot seat controversy, you know?
I don't think it has relieved any of the hot seat controversy because, let's face it, if John Harbaugh gets off to a slow start next year,
then it's back.
Then it's back, and it's back in a big way because now you're talking about not one, not two, but possibly three of the past four seasons being 500 or worse. And that certainly is not going to bode well in Baltimore. And talking about 2016, since we're, as of this day, one day away from the final day of 2015, Steve Smith Sr. announced on his Twitter handle, @89SteveSmith, that he will be returning to the Baltimore Ravens for his 16th season in the National Football League. Ray, before we close out this segment, how do you feel about this move going forward?
Okay, Jimmy Smith, I thought he was going to come back anyway, considering the way he was getting off the field with a towel over his head.
Are you talking about Steve Smith here? Jimmy Smith actually had a good game.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, I'm blanking right here. Sorry,
defense had a good game this week. So
I thought you were just segueing right to the Steve Smith story right there.
I am segueing into the Steve Smith story right here.
Okay, but Jimmy Smith, yes, had a very good game, even though one of his interceptions was called back.
Right.
It was actually a hell of an interception too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely it was. But Steve Smith, though, how do you feel about this move going forward next year?
In terms of how he exited the field, as the point I was trying to make, as you know, how he exited the field with the towel over his head and everything else that was happening, he didn't want it to end that way. He wanted a storybook ending to his career, considering the way his team was playing, considering the fact that he just got knocked out for the remainder of the season. He doesn't want his career to end exactly that way. He wants a storybook ending for his career, much like Ray Lewis and Ed Reed got to their careers. Well, not so much Ed Reed, but Ray Lewis more.
Yeah, because when you look at Ed Reed, you thought maybe after Ray Lewis announced his retirement that Ed Reed was going to follow suit. But then said Ed Reed goes to Houston, he goes to the Jets, and the story pretty much writes itself off.
Yeah.
And in the worst way possible. For Steve Smith, I'd happen to think that he still yearns for that one final chance at a Lombardi Trophy hoisting. I'm not sure if it'll happen with this Ravens team if they stay status quo, because let's be honest with ourselves, this team needs an explosive wide receiver. And with all due respect to Steve Smith, who's going to be, what, 37 years old going into 2016? With all due respect to him, and he could be a Hall of Famer one day, who knows, Steve Smith is not that guy. He's a fighter. He'll ground and pound for that catch here and there. He'll get those third down conversions. But for those deep plays, you need an Odell Beckham Jr. or an Antonio Brown. Or, in this case, an Antonio Brown, because Odell Beckham Jr. Needs to work on the head a little bit.
Well, maybe in terms of exactly how he's getting suspended from games and doing things with Josh Norman getting bats pointed at him. But you want an Odell Beckham, Josh, in terms of his talent and sheer ability? Where are you going to get that from? Maybe the draft?
Maybe the draft. Maybe Breshad Perriman comes back? Oh, so many questions. Quick prediction. Ravens-Cincinnati final score.
Cincinnati wins.
Cincinnati wins. I think Ravens win 16-10, and a lot of fans are going to be angry that we're not going to get a top 10 pick in 2016.
Maybe there's that, and maybe they compel themselves higher to mediocrity, or maybe they do what they need to do to lose, and they do get that good first-round pick.
This is the Baltimore Sports Free-for-All.
has ended for the Maryland women's basketball team, well, except a game coming up on Thursday, but the game that all of women's college basketball will be talking about as a possible Final Four, maybe national championship game, is Maryland against the UConn Lady Huskies, the number one UConn Huskies. And this game took place this past Tuesday in Madison Square Garden, where the UConn Huskies are undefeated at home. Maryland, unfortunately, Ray, could not get the job done against UConn Huskies. However, did play a lot better than their previous matchup, where they got beaten by more than 20 points in the Final Four game.
Yeah, different stage, different story this time around, though.
Yeah, very very true there. UConn beating Maryland 83-73, and looking at the stats of this game and comparing them to the UConn women's team, Maryland's field goal percentage from the floor, 47.7%. UConn's, 46.9%. Maryland's 3-point percentage, 38.1. UConn's, 35.3. Guess where UConn beat Maryland most of all?
Probably the rebound game.
Looking at the rebound game, I was going to point to, actually, Maryland beat UConn in the rebound game, but I was referring to the free throw attempts. UConn had 22 free throw attempts and averaged 77.3% from the free throw line. Maryland, Ray, only had 8 free throw attempts and only made 3 of them, not even averaging 50%. And I guess if Brenda Freeze looks back at the tape of this game, since it is Maryland's first loss of the season, because let's face it, compared to the rest of the Big Ten teams, with all due respect, it looks like Maryland could end up being repeat regular season and repeat Big Ten tournament champions, by the way the schedule's panning out. But when you look at UConn and the tape and everything, do you think Brendan Freeze will look at this tape and say, I know UConn seems unbeatable, but if we had a formula to get to them and be close with them, we got to get to the paint, we got to draw fouls, and we got to make our free throws? Because every other facet of the game for Brenda Freeze and her Lady Terps, they seem to get.
Yeah, they seem to have the chance in this game, but unfortunately it was not so in terms of, you know, playing against UConn. Yeah, you work on your game, feel about the tape, but here's the other problem, though, Josh. UConn is also looking at the tape.
That is very true, and Gino Auriemma has been a king at that when it comes to his women's team, and a women's team who had 4 starters who averaged double figure points scored in this game. Maryland had 3. Of course, Brianna Jones had 24 points. Shatori Walker-Kimbrough had 14. And Kristen Confroy had 12 points. But the difference, actually the one thing that all 3 of those double-digit scores for Maryland all had in common, They went for a total of 0-for-3 from the free throw line. And if you're a part of Maryland's scoring solution, you have to be able to get to the paint and you have to be able to make those free throws, because in any sport, in any facet of basketball, in college basketball, free throws are pretty much up there. They are the majority of your success. They can either dictate if you're going to go far or go nowhere. Take, for example, Maryland star guard Melo Trimble. Probably last year, we could say one of the best free throw shooters in all of college basketball, and is most likely going to be this year. Maryland needs to step up in the free throw department as far as the ladies concerned if they want to get anywhere near UConn's level.
Mm-hmm. And everything the future holds for the Maryland Terrapins seems to be bright. It's just UConn. That's the thorn in their side. That's the thorn in any women's basketball team's side. Let's see how they handle this loss and move forward from here.
All right. And moving forward are now your number four Maryland men's basketball team, who this past weekend against the Marshall Thundering Herd beat the Thundering Herd by a 20-point deficit, 87-67. And looking at your top scores from this game, which took place on Sunday afternoon, you had Robert Carter Jr., your starting forward for the Terps, having 19 points, 8 rebounds, and going 2-for-7 from the three-point line. Well, 2-for-7 from the three-point line, I wouldn't say it's great, but it's not certainly bad either. I was about to say it's a great stat, but hey, you make 2 3-pointers. You make 2 3-pointers in college basketball, I guess it's not all that bad, right?
It isn't, and considering how this game played out, yeah, there was a lot of room for error for the Maryland Terrapins on this game. But at the same time, you got to be able to beat these teams, because these are the ones you're supposed to beat in terms of before you hit the Big Ten schedule, which they did hit the Big Ten schedule this past week.
Yep, absolutely. And finishing up here with the Thundering Herd win for the Terrapins, Rashid Suleiman had 14 points, also went 2-for-2 from the three-point line. Melo Trimble, 13 points, went 3-for-5 from the three-point line. And funny, we were talking about Melo Trimble being a great free throw shooter. Did not have one free throw attempt in this game. As a matter of fact, Maryland's team only had 8 free throw attempts in this game. Diamond Stone, and this is where we're going to get to for the Penn State game, had 16 points, 2 blocks, and 7 rebounds in the victory for the Terrapins this past Sunday. Now, the game, of course, everybody's going to be talking about this week, and for good reason, is Maryland's come-from-behind victory over the Penn State Nittany Lions. A game, Ray, where in the start of the first half, did not look like things were going Maryland's way. They were trailing Penn State pretty decisively going into the second half. 31-23, Penn State had the lead against Maryland. And in the second half, Maryland outscored Penn State 47-33, resulting in a 70-64 home win over the Nittany Lions. And a big part of that, Ray, was your 5-star recruit out of Wisconsin, the McDonald's All-American freshman center, Diamond Stone.
Over 30 points, and the way that he played like a man on fire. Everybody was talking about him on social media, and everybody was also talking about, well, let's enjoy it while it lasts, fans, because he ain't lasting here long.
Diamond Stone, 10-for-15 from the floor, 19-for-25 from the free throw line. He had 2 blocks, 12 rebounds, 1 steal, 39 total points accounted for the Terrapins offense.
That's your big man right there, and yet he's doing that all as a bench player.
Yep, Melo Trimble went 2-for-7 from the three-point line, scored 10 points of his own. Robert Carter Jr. had went 2-for-2 from the three-point line and also scored 11 points as well. I guess it's safe to say that when it comes to Maryland, we have seen these games flip-flop back and forth. We've seen players like Melo Trimble be the star of the game. We've seen Rashid Suleiman be the star of the game. Jake Lehman had a game, a career game, so to speak, in terms of helping the Terps win. Is this Diamond Stone's coming out party as far as being a starting star center in college basketball?
He couldn't have picked a better time to do it, the start of the Big Ten schedule. This could very well be the time for Diamond Stone to shine like a diamond.
Yep. What would the saying be? Shines like a diamond, tough as a stone. Would that be correct there with this kid?
We should patent it, put it up on our Baltimore Sports Free for All Facebook page, put it on Twitter.
before somebody steals it and makes it a corny saying there.
Yeah, I guarantee you somebody in the age of the internet, somebody already has. I mean, in terms of the Chip Kelly thing, I just thought the first thing I thought of when he got fired on his day off was Friday?
Yep, Friday.
How do you get fired
on your day off?
Yeah, and that's pretty much the entire like theme throughout the movie. And yet, somebody already did it with Chip Kelly. Maybe somebody's already done your saying with Diamond Stone. But yeah, with the Maryland Terrapins, fun to watch, exciting to watch. Look, very much looking forward to what they can do in 2016. Now the Big Ten schedule is here. This is the proving ground. This is where the Terrapins have to, you know, go deep into the playoffs, because at the way that they are recruiting and the way Mark Turgeon has decided that he wants to play the game Gary Williams never wanted to play, and that is recruiting the guys who are the one and dones, the guys who are, you know, seeing dollar signs within their eyes as soon as they use Maryland as a stepping stone, a platform, so to speak, to get them to the NBA. You got to be able to perform this year, because if you want to continue that recruiting chain and getting guys like Diamond Stone and Melo Trimble every year, got to be able to go deep into the playoffs, because that's where they want to go. They want to go where they get the most exposure. And Maryland, if they were able to do that in the Big Ten, they can make that happen.
The Baltimore Sports Free-for-All.
This episode of the Baltimore Sports Free-for-All is just about coming to a close, as is 2015. Some of our favorite moments from this year, I would have to say in terms of sports moments, there weren't that really many that stand out in my eye in terms of, you know, being memorable, but I'd have to say that one of the big moments of 2015 was seeing Ronda Rousey get knocked out by Holly Holm. Straight leg kick to the face.
I would do you one better and say Conor McGregor knocking out Jose Aldo in 13 seconds.
Okay, yeah, that is pretty much up there with Ronda Rousey, and both of them are now going to be gracing the cover of EA Sports' UFC coming up here in the next year or so.
One of these fighters is not like the other. Which one didn't get knocked out?
Yeah, one's on a hot streak, the other one just had their hot streak completely cooled off and tamed. So that was one of the big moments of 2015. I know Bills fans, the outlandishness of them, seeing them every year, every week is been quite a treat for everybody, fans of football in general. Ha, let me see. Yes, 2015, big-time sports moments.
Golden State Warriors beating the crap out of the Cavaliers in the NBA Finals.
Beating the crap out of everybody.
Yep, and this year beating the crap out of everybody. Steph Curry becoming possibly the greatest shooter, you know, before our eyes in basketball. What else? One Baltimore moment that stood out to me, and I'm sure it stood out to you, was the game following the Baltimore riots for the Orioles, where they played in an empty stadium and won that game. And, of course, you see the image of Caleb Joseph tossing a ball out to empty seats out there.
There's that. You could hear the players spit. You could hear in a very faint in the distance of fans actually watching the game at different bars around Camden Yards, and hear them chanting every time they see something. Of course, it's a delayed chant because the television is on a delay. But the empty stadium game for Camden Yards was a sight to behold, and yeah, that's something we'll probably never see again. It was special.
Yeah. What else? Oh, yeah, the Ravens, we mentioned this, but the Ravens beating the Steelers three times this year, once in the playoffs. So, and it does count as 2015, the calendar year. Let's see, the Maryland women's team being your undisputed Big Ten champions right there.
Yeah, despite all the naysayers saying that Maryland, the Big Ten, just weren't, it wasn't going to be a healthy matchup, and here it is now. Other than football, everything's been pretty good.
Yep, other than football. Oh, yeah, Maryland men's football team went to the bowl game earlier this year. This year wasn't so good.
No, it wasn't good at all.
No, not good at all.
So much so that Randy Etzel, every single game, has been fired.
Exciting sports moment of the year, though, we'll have to go to something regarding sports entertainment. And that's when Seth Rollins cashed in the main event of WrestleMania 31 and won the WWE Championship. That's probably the first wrestling moment where my jaw dropped in quite some time.
Yeah.
And that's saying a lot.
You would have that moment. I mean, if I were to go with that, I'd go with Sasha Banks versus Bayley at NXT.
That was actually
on the show.
Now, that was a good match. That was a great match. But this would be a moment, though, of course.
Well, yeah, the entire match was a moment. That was the point.
No, match of the year was Seth Rollins, Lesnar, and John Cena at the Royal Rumble.
Okay, I can go with that.
That was a good one. That saved Roman Reigns from getting booed all over. And now Roman Reigns is getting cheered. Wrestling fans can't make their minds up, Ray.
And they're also chanting boring during Sasha Banks matches. So there's that as well. They can't make up their mind.
No, they can't. But if you had made up your mind already, thank you for listening to the Baltimore Sports Free for All for 2015. And of course, we're going to have some big plans going into 2016. We are actually, Ray, correct me if I'm wrong, we're going to be doing multiple 15-minute podcasts of your favorite topics going into 2016. Is that correct?
Yes, in terms of being shorter, sweeter, it's better.
And to the point. Yep, so if you like your Ravens talk, you'll get 15 minutes of that. If you like your Terrapins hoops talks, you'll like 15 minutes of that. And once in a while, if you want to do something miscellaneous, well, you'll get 15 minutes of that too because, hey, randomness sometimes is the best part of all sports.
We're going to spend 15 minutes talking about a chair.
Talking about a chair. Hopefully a wrestling chair, so to speak.
You would want a wrestling chair, but this has been a 2015 for the Baltimore Sports Free for All. I'm Ray Atkinson.
And I'm Josh Hall.
And we will see you all. Happy New Year.
The Baltimore Sports Free for All.